We are live.
Live on Tuesday. Here we are, Unfiltered Marriage. And last week was an awesome mashup. We didn't have anything separate. We were off for 2 weeks. So this is actually our official first week back.
First show of 2020.
First show of 2020 with my road dog, Nicole, my husband, and, you know, Mr. Tuesday Night, Rocky.
Goddamn
we're
right.
Missing Mark. You know, he's been working a lot, so he hasn't been able to be here. But hopefully we get that guest visit star whenever he's got time, you know, bodybuilding.
Hopefully he can clear a little space on his schedule for us little people.
I know. He's just too popular for us now. I mean, she laughs, but she spends more time with him than I do because she works out with him, you know?
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
It's like super unbelievable. So, Earl, if you're watching and you wanted to call in, buddy, feel free to, by the way. I got the Skype fixed.
What's up, Earl?
I wanted to laugh quick, though, at the fact that I'm in a tank top and Opie was like, oh, she's wearing a tank top in her house. It's winter. She's in a tank top all the time. And this one's bundled up with a blanket
we
on.
We have heat, though.
It's nice in here.
It's not you guys. I'm anemic and I'm freezing.
This weather's been fucking
the
murdering
effing
me.
Time.
Oh, me? I can't breathe. The heat's making my nose dry.
I'm supposed to take iron supplements, but I don't.
It's been the worst.
Look at you being a rebel of the fucking
I keep
world.
Using that Vicks spray and then the Vicks spray dries me all out.
It sounded like you said dick spray and I
dick
automatically
spray.
Thought about your the movie where he's like the dick cream.
The dick cream. That's right. Do you know where the powder packets are?
What are you talking about?
They're in the cabinet right next to my dick cream.
Wet American Hot Summer.
Did you just say
oh
dick cream? No, no, I didn't.
Never
I said dick team.
Stick ball.
Stick ball. He's at a talking
yeah.
Canada special.
What, Hot American Summer? You've never seen that?
I've never heard of it.
Do we have it to lend?
Wow.
Do you have it to lend? What was that?
Because we have
is,
every movie.
It
no,
is.
It was like, you had like a little accent.
Do we have it to
Do
lend?
It's
to
one
lend.
Of the funniest movies ever because it's so just ridiculous in some parts and like over the top. Like Paul Rudd is in it.
Yeah.
Like who else? Amy, what's her face? Amy Poehler.
I
Janine
love
Garofalo.
Her. Okay.
Bradley
How did
Cooper.
I never hear of this then?
It is so.
Bradley Cooper's
it is
first
so
movie.
Hysterical.
I think he has one line in the
I
whole
think
movie.
There's something wrong with me. No,
yeah.
I've never heard
it's,
of this.
And a lot of the people from Reno 911 in the state.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's so funny. There's a TV series on Netflix.
What?
Never.
There's even two seasons of a TV series on Netflix of it, too. Didn't Bradley Cooper come back for the first one?
I don't necessarily
I think he did.
Know.
And then the second one, they switched him out with Adam Scott, Derek from Step Brothers. Remember he had the plastic surgery?
Oh, yes.
And they're like,
yes,
you look
yes,
so
yes.
different since your nose job. And it's just a completely different guy. So fun. Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer, the movie, the TV series, watch it all. The TV series, me and Jess laughed at the stupidest, littlest thing in that show. But it was something that we had to rewind 50 million times. Like, there's this happy ending, this big, grandiose happy ending. And the chef is a Vietnam vet, and he's a lunatic. But
he talks to a can.
Yeah. He's fucking hilarious. Played by Chris Maloney. You know the He's in Law and Order. He's a bald guy. This guy. When you see him, you're going to know exactly who he is.
I don't watch Law and Order either.
But if you see him, though,
oh,
you
God
should know.
How are you my best friend? God damn it.
Can I seriously? I used to
here, look,
sit
this guy.
In my room for literally.
You don't know that guy? He was in Oz.
Yeah,
you ever watch Oz?
No, but I've seen movies. Right. He was in Bridesmaids.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Who was he in that?
He was the, like, cocky asshole that she was sleeping with, like,
oh, that's right. And he wasn't like, he was like, you know, I think you should go now, bye.
Was that really him? I don't remember.
She asked him to pick her up on the side of the road.
He was
like,
also
yeah,
in
Gino.
That was him.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
I think she's right.
I'm positive.
I think you're wrong.
Look up the cast.
I'm looking it up right now. But he was also in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Did you see that movie?
Bits and pieces.
Did you see the part where they get picked up by the weird hillbilly? He's got the boils and shit on his neck, and he's like, "You can go inside and fuck my wife."
And then they go in there,
like,
and
what?
Like, and they go in there, and she's like taking her shirt off, and he's like, "Yeah, you can fuck my wife." And then when he walks in, he takes his fucking jumpsuit off, and he's got a thong bikini on, and he's like, "Let's party!" Oh, it was
so gross, so disgusting.
So gross.
But how did we get there? We started with something.
We were talking about, we just had the powder packets, and we were
oh, duh, yeah.
We just
weird.
Went into it randomly.
all right, so back to what I was going to say. I watched the, What's Love Got to Do With It for the first time. I know the movie's mad old. I missed the boat there. I'm talking about a 25-year-old movie. But, goddamn, did she get her ass whooped?
Mm.
Like, he...
It was messed up.
And I didn't know he raped her also. Like, they're married, and, you know, I... Again,
you assume it's wanted, but you know, he but was
no,
abusive.
This was not wanted abusive. At all.
And not just that, with working her,
John Hamm, it's not the same guy. John Hamm's
really?
From Mad Men.
Oh, that you went back to the other movie.
They look similar. I could see why you would have mistaken it. They kind of do have a similar look.
I thought that's who you showed me.
That's
before.
Not no.
Well, well, looky, and I'm going. Yeah, it is because I'm like trying to defend my friend because she's right. No,
but I'm
not.
Come on, you know I'm always right. But I'm watching that movie and I was like, God damn, she got like
horrible
fucking beat to shit.
She did. And he was a real piece of shit.
Yep.
Like
he tried to take her name too. He tried to make her have to lose her stage name when they got divorced.
Yeah, yep. The divorce.
She was like, take all the money.
Literally the only thing she kept.
All I want is my name.
Yep.
Yeah, which was smart.
Yeah. She worked her ass off for that name.
But,
she earned that shit.
Like, you look at situations like that though. And, of course, you sympathize, like, it's terrible, it's awful, but you go, how do you not just get the fuck out of there? Like, in situations where you're not Tina Turner, much more understandable. You're fucking Tina Turner.
Yeah,
like,
but that doesn't mean that he didn't fuck her mind up
Yes, and that's definitely a lot of it. Because from day one, you know, he always played that, you know, everybody leaves me, mm-hmm. So you're going to leave me too, aren't you? And he would play that shit a lot.
Good.
But, like, as soon as you get punched in the face, that should be a wake-up call of... Oh, wow.
It's not that easy.
It really isn't. It took me a very long time.
Phew, shit.
Bless you.
It took her finding Buddhism. Like, she becomes a Buddhist and starts meditating and following Buddhist mantras and shit.
It's difficult because when you're not in the situation, you don't realize the control they actually have
over
you.
No, of course. Outside looking in, yeah, it's much easier to just say, get up and leave. And I'm not going to say it's that easy. I never would. Obviously, if it was, they would. But you like when you're Tina Turner, though, it's like, dude, you can fucking...
You can be Tina Turner, but when someone's telling you every day you're a piece of shit, you're a loser, you're nothing without me, you start
you're
to believe
still anime.
It. You start to believe
but,
it, you know?
But literally when everyone's going, no, we just want to work with you, not him. Hey, we're here to see Tina Turner. Tina Turner's front and center on every night, every stage, while Ike's back there playing guitar. It's not like, you know, they were both equal in this music thing.
Right.
It was Tina... Ike writes the music.
Right, but he was still doing that manipulative, what are you going to leave me now?
But like when Phil Spector walks up to you and goes, hey, I want you to sing my song. Now someone else is saying, I'm going to make songs for you.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Like at that point you go, oh, you are? Bye.
But I think for the longest
the mind fuck.
Like she was where she was.
And she couldn't do it.
Because of him.
Well, she
obligated, I guess, in a way. To
like, she wouldn't have gotten the opportunity without him. She wouldn't have had the songs that he had written. You know, for all it's worth, Joe Jackson. Ike Turner was...
one half dozen of the other.
Ike Turner was an amazing, amazing guitar player. Mm-hmm. He's credited for, like, rock and roll up there with Chuck Berry. And then people like to downplay it, but you ask anyone, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, they'll all say Ike Turner is a huge, huge part of rock and roll. And, but, you know, you look and you're just like...
That back then, though, like, let me just be real, though. Back then, though, like, you would smack your wife around and nobody fucking cared.
This wasn't
cared.
Smacking, though.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
however,
still,
back then, he
beat her up in a diner and shit.
Walk, yeah.
Like, and everyone's
just saying that back then it was more normal for women to be secondary, than, you know, you sit next to me now, no one would ever see you pick your hand up to me. You know, it's just not something that you do.
But, like, even watching it, like, I look at that and it's so foreign. Like,
you
look at that and go,
like that today. You got, like, five people that don't even know you standing up be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing to that woman?
But, like, I look at it and go, how could any... There is nothing a woman can do that would make me fucking punch her or smack her. Or do anything to intentionally hurt her. I'll grab you, and that's the extent of the physical altercation I would have a woman just to stop you from hitting me.
In almost eight years, one time, and that was in our first year of dating, he grabbed my shoulders, and that was because I slapped him in the face. And he said, don't fucking hit me. And at that moment, it was more or less I was drunk and wasted and we were fighting and I slapped him. And instead of him being aggressive, he just grabbed my shoulders so I didn't wail back again. And he was like, don't fucking hit me. And I went, okay. Okay. Because,
yeah,
I remember,
like, I had that, like, anger strength where I picked her up and put her on the wall. And I just looked at her. I was like, don't fucking do that again.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, in that situation, I mean, of course, I'd want someone to defend themselves. You're talking about, I mean, straight up abuse, and I've never even had a match with my husband yelling where I felt like I lost my voice. We don't even get to that point ever, so it's different for me to see that shit, you know. And back then in the day, we've all been with people who are pieces of shit. You know, and we could say, fuck, I dealt with a lot.
Yeah.
But what she dealt with as a human being and prevailed fucking amazingly, you know, I give her so much credit. There's a lot of respect for her as an artist, as a woman. Yeah.
She did try to leave him a few times. Even her fucking mother
and
turned
he followed
her
and
ass
shit.
Into
Yeah, her mother, you're right. She ratted them out that one time, and that was fucked up. But, yeah, watching that, you're just like, God. Damn, she went through some shit.
Yeah,
she did.
It was like some Enough, that movie Enough you've seen with Jennifer Lopez. She was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, like, I was looking at it going, though, like, I'm like, you're fucking Tina Turner. Just leave. But finally, at the end, when she goes to the Ramada, and she's like, I'm Tina Turner. I had a fight with my husband. Can I please have a room? She was about to give the guy the ring. He's like, no, Miss Turner, you don't. You know, and I was like, thank fucking Christ. Like, it took you 20 years to do that shit. Not 20, but however long it was. I was like, fuck. Yeah. Like, after the first beating, I would hope that...
I felt that shit in my soul when she wailed off and beat back at him.
Oh, yeah, in the limo?
I felt that in my soul. Yeah. I was like, yes.
But, like, I would never want that, really to ever happen to my daughters, obviously. But if it did, I would hope the first one would be the one of, oh, never going to be put in that position again.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it and you go, fuck, man, that's just an awful, awful fucking position to be in. And when you have all that power, too, and you're still stuck in it. Like,
and, you think, let me just say this quick. Because her mother, you know, who was who she was, you think, like, you know, you'd have a father figure or someone to be there for you or whatever. Like, I grew up, don't break bottles, I grew up with a father who was like a fucking brick wall. My dad had 6th degree in 3 different karates. He was no fucking joke. And 6'2", 250. He was a big man. Never in the right mind would you think that I could ever end up with somebody who would dare. You know, but I did for 3 years, and I stayed for those fucking years. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. And he's looking at me. Well, he actually didn't speak to me, but he was so upset with me. Like, I will squash him. Just tell me the truth that he's hurting you. And I'm like, I'm fine. And he's like, I will fucking squash. But in that moment, you're not thinking, let me call my dad. You're just thinking, I love him. He loves me. And, you know, he's mad. And I made him upset. And maybe I shouldn't nag him so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you don't think of it like that. You don't think of it like that. And not that I've ever been straight out punched in my face. But, you know, I definitely have dealt with disrespectful relationships. I'm not going to front. Like, nobody has perfect relationships.
I've never been, like, uber disrespectful in a relationship. I've been uber disrespectful to just random chicks that, you know, want to come out their face. And I've said some horrible things to those women. But as far as a relationship goes, I've never been like a vicious, cruel person in a breakup situation. Never, you know, like, I'm just like,
I'm crazy.
You,
I threaten to drive
to
their
that
windows.
Breaking point, though, like she did, it's very liberating, that feeling when you finally get to, like, enough is enough. Because I remember when I got to that point in my relationship.
You're like, fuck
cause
this.
Because he used to fucking hurt me.
Yeah.
And it got to the point, the last altercation that we had, I was like, you're not fucking doing this anymore. I literally picked up the fucking vacuum like a goddamn baseball bat, and I just started fucking wailing on him.
And
like,
you have
to. You're
not
going to fucking do that to me anymore.
It's a fight for your life at that moment.
I remember feeling so, like, finally strong, like
at that fight at the end
you.
Of that movie with J-Lo, when she sets him up and she's gonna blind you, and she is like fucking cognito, and she has these, my dad used to have these gloves, right, and in the gloves there was a metal bar that was inside of the handpiece that when you would close it, it would keep your wrist solid, and in that she had those things she put in her hands.
Yep.
I was like, yes, you know, because you want her to.
Yeah, but she went out and learned how to like fight though.
Oh,
like,
hell
she
yeah,
she learned boxing, and you know, like there was time invested.
She was a
in
fucking
her,
ninja.
Her revenge.
Ninja.
So speaking of other movies, well, real quick, we saw Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler movie. Did you see it, Nicole?
Which one?
The new Adam Sandler movie. It's where he's a...
it's a serious
Is that
movie.
The one that everyone is saying, like, first people were saying how, like, it's his best thing ever, and then, forget, some people said that they went and saw it, and it, like, he fucking sucked in it.
I saw it
acting
twice.
Wise, it's incredible. Yeah.
It's something you'd never expect him to do, and he did it very well.
Well, he's done drama before, just not this type of drama. Like, this is like, he's a gambler, he's a degenerate, he's a cheating husband.
Yeah.
He owes everybody in the city money. You know, he's an awful fucking human being, a terrible fucking person. But, you know, it's a fucking intense movie.
I don't believe it till you see it.
Yeah.
It was good. I saw it twice in the movie theater.
It's really intense.
I paid twice. It was good.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. He got snubbed at the Oscars. They didn't nominate him for Best Actor. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know about Best Actor, but he was good.
Isn't Joker back in the movie theaters now?
It's this Friday, I believe, the 17th.
God. I need to fucking go. I didn't get to see it the first.
I have the DVD. Take it.
Yeah, why don't you?
You could keep it, too. I have the Blu-ray DVD digital thing. I don't ever use the DVD.
What an amazing brother you have.
I know.
Let me grab it now so you don't forget.
Yeah.
You don't got to do that.
No, I'll forget.
So it was actually a really good movie. I really appreciated it. What was the... Was there another movie that we were discussing besides Uncut Gems? No.
Marriage.
Well, what?
Marriage.
Marriage Story?
Yeah.
Marriage Story. Did you ever see that?
No.
It's with Scarlett Johansson and what's his name?
I'm not a fan of her. I know that's your female celebrity, but...
It wasn't... She's not even hot in this. It was basically about two parents, two people, have a kid, and then shit just... They fall in love. They have a kid. Shit gets crazy. It's just,
it's the evolution of a divorce.
It's the honest truth, though, of what people go through. And you think things are so nice and sweet, but that's just not the way it works.
It's the beginning and end of a divorce and everything in between. And you see it broken down. And as someone who's been through a divorce, I could say this movie is accurate as shit.
It was great. It was great.
Because I laugh at everybody, not at their divorce, and, you know, that sucks. I would never wish that on anybody going through it. It's a fucking nightmare. But I laugh at the people who are just starting their divorce, and everybody says the same thing. No. Me and my wife,
we're going to do a mediator.
We're going to work it out together.
We're going to split everything. Everything's going to be fine.
I now, having been through it and have now witnessed a few divorces, also hearing those people say the same thing, and now everybody that's getting divorced and they tell me that, I look at them and go, no, you're not.
Don't do it.
I go, no,
don't
you're
waste
not.
Your time.
I'm like, all you're doing now is wasting money on lawyers for no reason.
All
I go,
it takes is for one of them to get a significant, and then everything gets ugly. Jealousy and attacking each other. Now it's no longer about, let's just part ways and be fine.
It's not even significant. Ready? It's as simple as this. I want the iPad. But it's my iPad. Yeah, but we got it when we were married, and I used it a lot more. So
it's
I think I should have the iPad. Well... But
down to dishes,
and then it turns into fuck you. It's my fucking iPad, and now your mediator can go fuck yourself. And when there's kids involved, forget it. So everyone, if you're getting a divorce, don't
go right to a lawyer.
Go right to your lawyer. Just go to your lawyer, and also remember this too, because I was just telling a buddy of mine this. You're paying your lawyer. You're paying him to tell you what the fuck you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Do not believe everything they tell you. If you say, hey, I want five weekends with my kid, even though there's 4 weekends in a month, the lawyer's going to go, I'll get you 5 weekends.
Yeah, they'll say whatever you want.
Okay? Just go for what you really want, and everything else you're going to split anyway. Just fucking split it. And as the guy, give up all the other shit. Go buy a fucking TV. Go buy a couch. Whatever, man. It's not worth it. Like, it's not fun.
It gets vicious. And, you know, the people who, like, when they attack each other, they don't realize, like, this is all energy that everybody else can feel, including your kids. And it gets, like,
but
you
only
know,
the lawyers win, because they just keep dragging it out and they keep getting paid.
And this is someone you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. Why? You know, I get it.
Why
jealousy,
make an enemy
anger,
out of this person?
Yes. Why have to go through that situation? You should just look at it and go, look, we both don't fucking want to be together. And whatever the case is, I hate you because of this. Good. I hate you because of this. Fine. Then we hate each other. Let's just coexist for the child. You drag it out.
Yeah.
You fucking poison each other with hatred and anger.
Mine actually went pretty quick as far as divorces go.
It did go quick. That's because you had a great lawyer. And
once I got my second lawyer, because my second lawyer, he was a lot more expensive, but also wasn't a fucking
lot more
yes
aggressive.
Man.
Yeah.
But he also wasn't, you know, well, I can get you. He was realistic. He was like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
This is what we can do. And my thing was just, I wanted time with my kid. Everything else material wise, I said, I want the one TV. That's it. Everything else is yours.
Take it. Empty the fucking house.
And
take everything.
Everything was hers. You
take
took
it.
Everything.
Couch.
You know.
Take it. Whatever.
So, and that's as the guy, just take the L, man. Take the fucking loss. Unless, like, you got cheated on or something like that.
Right. If you're the one that, you know, had, I mean, I guess it's.
But if you guys just aren't in love anymore and you're like, hey, we need to get divorced, then fucking just fucking man up and let her fucking win this thing. And not even, like, win it. Just get it done with, because like I said, you're only letting the lawyers win. And as the guy, by the way, the reason why I'm saying get it done with is you're not just paying your lawyer, don't forget.
You're paying
hers
too.
Too.
Well, whoever makes more money.
Yeah, but
if the woman makes more money, and I know a friend who's dealing with it, she pays for the other lawyer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you make more money, that's how it goes.
That's in New York, though. I don't know every other state.
Right. Yeah. Of course, different states, different laws. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you have one that's going, can we just settle? I don't want to deal with anyone. And you have one going, nope, I'm going to pick, and I'm going to pick. Because it's a vicious fucking cycle of you have that anger, your jealousy. Let it go. It didn't work. You know, you act like this is the last person.
Well,
millions.
It's embarrassing, too. Like, you know, it's embarrassing that your marriage couldn't work and, you know, you guys couldn't figure it out.
Not necessarily. What if one was cheating?
No, I'm not saying all the time. Right. I wasn't embarrassed at all. I was like, hey, my divorce is final. Yes. But, you know, for some people, you know, who have faith or, you know, have a church or shit like that, you know, it's like a disgrace on them, you know?
Fuck that. If I'm not happy, I'm not happy. I don't care what anybody else fucking thinks. You can't live like that.
Nope.
You know, like, and when it comes to the kids, like, I have three children. If it came down to it where Rocky was like, look, I don't want to be with you. I have three kids and myself. I'm fine. Don't be with me. I love you enough to know that I'm not going to force you to be with me. That's even worse.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, would it hurt? Of course. And would I feel sad? Yes. But I'm not going to ruin my life, their life, our children's lives to be a dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, you know what? But again, I'm a more rational when it comes to stuff like that, I guess. I've had a lot of loss in my life. So I figure, you know what? This can't be any fucking worse. You know?
Yep.
It's crazy. Speaking of.
Real quick, Phil the promoter said, Uncut Gems seriously stressed me out. Adam's acting is great, though. I want to say one thing, too. If you liked Uncut Gems, there's this movie called Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel from the 90s. Very similar to it.
He's so knowledgeable.
Well, if you liked Uncut Gems, definitely check out Bad Lieutenant. It's kind of got a similar tone to it and vibe to it. And it's, you know, this whole day, it's like all set in one day. And he has this bet on this Mets game. So throughout the movie, the Mets game's playing in the background everywhere. And it's a really fucking good movie. So like I said, Uncut Gems, if you enjoyed it, Bad Lieutenant, Harvey Keitel. Check it out.
We all have things. We all have things about each other that are like drive us up the wall, or we're opposite. You know, people drive and they're assholes in the car. I'm like, fuck, whatever, asshole. You keep driving like that, I'm going to stay back here and let you go faster and let you go do what you got to do. And I even tell Anna while I'm driving with the girls, I'm like, you know what? I'm not in a rush. I'll take my time. I drive slow. I'm not like that. However, my amazing and sweet and supporting and loving husband has zero tolerance for people who can't drive okay. And I mean, there were times before our children, actually, this is when it was just me and him, and we had Lewis on the weekends, we'd be driving and people would cut off and he would be out the motherfucker. Like, I swear to God, I'd be going, stop it. Like screaming as if they could even hear him. Only I can. And I'm going, you need to really, fuck it. And I'm like, you know what? Crazy. As the years go on, he gets much calmer. So let's give Rocky a moment. We're driving to Sunday dinner at my mother-in-law's. And as we're driving on a very busy road,
Patrick Holbrook Road, where it turns into Waverly on the other side of Sunrise.
Okay, so
when you go straight, past
the 7-Eleven there, you know, kind of goes to one
lane. It merges.
Police station. So right, he not only...
I'm in the left lane
right
now,
he
right?
He cuts Rocky off to get in front of him. Meanwhile, we're going
like
the same
place.
Last
second as it merges. Like, I watched him from behind me speed up. So he can now...
Him and his old lady in a Sentra. In a Sentra.
You know what I mean?
In a Sentra.
And I'm sitting there going, bro, we're both going to the traffic circle where you're going to have to yield anyway. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Where are you going, asshole?
We're in the 4Runner. We have the three kids in the car. Okay? And we get to the section where we turn.
Fucking
now.
Prius the guy's in.
No, it was a Sentra.
No, it was a Prius.
I thought it was
Sentra. I even said, I go, fucking Prius.
So we go like this. And now, again, I always look at him and go, the kids are in the car. And he'll pipe down. I'm like, the kids are in the car. He goes like this. Now he cuts Rocky off to the left. We're in the left. He gets into the right. Rocky goes forward. He gets back into the left behind us because he needs to go all the way left to make a left on fucking Main Street. And Rocky's like I see him steaming. And he doesn't say anything. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of him. He held it together. I'm like, that is amazing. So we get across. And
now the light goes. So they're still in the left lane. And I'm in the middle lane going straight. Now.
And he crossed over and he goes, I'm so good. Nonchalantly, you had no idea. I stuck my finger out the window and I gave him the fucking bird.
As I was driving off, I put my window was open, so I just go like this. So I didn't honk nothing. I was just like,
I look at him and I'm like, I was proud of you. you stuck your, he goes, I stuck my, and he's laughing hysterical that I didn't notice and that he finally got to tell this guy to fuck off. I'm like,
because that's a win for me. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's such a cunt, but fuck him. That's a win for me because now he's going, yeah, fuck means right. I am an asshole.
You know, I am proud. At the same time, he was like, I nonchalantly, you had no idea. I gave him the finger and I look at him like, really? Well, okay.
I recently once pulled the Clark Griswold with the kids in the car I said, look, kids, a deer. And I was like, you motherfucker. Am I wording it to the guy next to me?
He did. Yeah. And, but I'm proud. He's, you know, and with children, you do change a lot with, like, your, you know, with your who you are. Even with me when I'm out with my girls, I won't even conflict with anyone. We don't eye contact. I don't want beef with nobody because I have to act. You know, we went to a concert one night with Anna to go see Marilyn Manson at the Paramount. And, you know, we're in the crowd. We're a general, so we're on the floor. And it's her first rock concert, so we wanted to kind of be to the front. And as Anna's dancing, I'm right behind her. So I have my arms kind of out as I'm dancing, and she's in the middle. I'm just trying to keep a little... And this one girl, who's shorter than me but plump, kept on barreling through me and Anna and checking Anna, like Anna was bumping. And not once, twice. So now the second time she comes through, I look at Rocky. I'm like, she comes through again. I'm fucking knocking her out. Now, I am 38 years old in a concert with a whole bunch of...
Well, at this time, like 36.
37, 36. 37, yeah. So I'm like, you know, I can't fight somebody and her. I don't want to go to jail. However... The fucking bitch comes back around. So she's going like this and then going around the whole crowd and then coming back again
and like
around.
Being cunty, aggressively just like pushing just people for no reason.
Like bumping. So she comes back around and she goes to bump Anna and I backed up and I was like, what is fucking good? I'm like, I'm on. I started taking my fucking shoot. Rocky's holding me. I'm like, I am going to fuck. Now, meanwhile.
Now, this little fat pudgy girl, she thinks like she must have had her first beer or something because she had a fucking beer.
She's like, come on.
And I could tell she's drunk because she's kind of swaying back and forth.
And she's going, come on. And Rocky slowly comes to my ear and he goes, we're with Anna. And all I looked at everybody moshing and jumping before, and Marilyn Manson, and I'm going, you're right.
Before I did that, though, like I had Jess kind of like this, and I look the other girl's right hand, I look at her, and I go, seriously, walk the fuck away before you get hurt. I go, you don't know what you're doing, and you're about to get fucked up.
I was
walk
ready,
away.
Dude. I was
And I look
ready.
At Jess, and that's when I was like, well, with Anna. Don't fucking... And the girl walked away at that point, though. Like, she was gone.
And I looked, and I realized I did.
Because people don't, like... People look at Jess, and they like, what's this scrawny bitch going to do? Yeah. And I'm like, she's going to hospitalize you, and then I have to pay your bills and fucking, you know, deal with lawyers and shit.
I'm
but
like a spider monkey, and
because,
I'll fucking
like,
suffocate
she is
you.
A fucking problem. She knows how to throw her hands like a man. And I tell people that as, like, this thing
I do
thing
have Guns the Gun Show, in case you missed it.
But, like, for real, though, she knows how to punch how a man knows how to punch. She doesn't punch like girls punch. So when she fights other women, she fucks them up because
I remember them high school days.
Because girls immediately try to grab your hair or slap
I'm
you
a
in
fucking
some
throat
shit. And she's
my
a two piece, like bang bang.
My
what's
first
up,
hit,
bro?
Everybody goes hit the nose. Fuck that. My first hit's your throat. I'm gonna shut you the fuck up.
Yep.
And if you get back up. I'm lacing you, and I have the boniest knuckles.
Remember in Uncut Gems? You fucking hit him in the throat.
The first thing my dad always told me, because I'm short. I'm 5'1½". Yeah. He was like, Jessica, realistically, you punch someone in the nose, it's going to hurt, but it's not going to stop them. You know what's going to stop them? Even if
you can't breathe.
If you flick their fucking throat. So I would just literally
sit there and fucking choke.
I wouldn't even hit hard. My dad would tell me how when I punched to open my fingers, so I'd hit, but I would go whap. So it would just slap their throat. Yeah. That's how I won, because I'm small. I didn't go
and
for
if
the
if you've
knee.
Ever been hit there, like, your throat starts to, like, spasm.
It fucking hurts. So
and, like, you're like, I can talk, and you go,
It's so me, you know, he knew at that point. But I looked at him, and I looked at Anna. I was like, I think that now we should just go, because I'm going to look for her. We were in the back. Mm. We moved to the back, and I'm like, where is she? She's coming up behind Anna. Where?
Yeah.
Because I was
and then
worried.
At that point, you're not going to enjoy
yourself. I did not enjoy myself. So we got out of there, which
I was
all
sick
right.
as shit to begin
he
with.
He was, yeah.
I
he
was
went,
like,
road
flu
dog,
sick.
Road dog.
And I was like, I'm going anyway.
Didn't you say that concert kind of sucked?
It was
too?
The, he
it
left.
That was just last
he
year.
He left. Marilyn Manson walked out on the show.
It was two
Wait,
years.
What? You didn't tell me that?
Like 5 minutes after we left. Like, we had left, and like not even 5 to 10 minutes after we left. left, he had fucked off because everyone wouldn't chant "I love you."
One or two songs.
Stop he kept it. The whole what night. Bitch. He was very visibly fucked up.
The DJ before him was
he's
better.
Walking around with the mic, just like kind of like dragging his feet as he's walking. Going, tell me you love
you
me.
You don't love me.
How much do you guys love me? Tell me you love me.
Yeah.
He was fucked up.
It was fucked up. At the end of the day, though, my brain immediately goes into Jessica mode where I looked at Anna, I looked at Rocky, and I'm like, you know what? Even if I was to hit her, three or four people are jumping in just because it's a concert.
Yep.
And I had to.
And then you're in a fucking.
But she still has, when she gets in those moments, she still has 15-year-old Jessica pride. Where she still has that, I can't let them do that. I have to prove something here, and I have to show them that I'm not that person that they think I am. But she's learned to control it as an adult. But every now and then it kicks in, and I have to go, baby, let's calm down.
Yeah, I don't lay my hands on people, and that's a lot for me to control myself. Mm-hmm. Mostly.
But when you were 15, you were super insecure.
I was picked on, rightfully because I wasn't,
But I think a lot of that aggression and fighting is that insecurity coming out of, well, if they're going to tell me I'm ugly and I'm tell me this, then I'll just beat the shit out of them and fuck them. Like, then what are they going to say? You know what I mean?
And
like,
in reality, though, the people who I fought were only people
who
were
picked
on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know.
And I would just turn around eventually and lash back where it was like, I'm going to tell you a really quick story, and I'm not going to mention any names at all because it's not necessary. But when I was younger, I was, younger than my sister by 2 years. So she was in 11th, I'm in 9th. And I remember her having an issue with somebody. And they had come to our cul-de-sac around the area or whatever. And I remember being at that moment in 9th grade being forced to defend, which I always fucking will, mm-hmm. always, defend my family. And that's where it kind of started. Yeah, I had a fight in 7th grade. I had a fight in 8th grade. Actually, three or four fights in 8th grade. But in 9th grade, when I fought this person who was 2 years older and way bigger than me, I literally looked down and went, I'm pretty fucking fierce. When I think about it and I do it. So he knows that when I get there, I need to remember my children, my love, my family. Yep. I never want to hurt. I don't even like hurting ants and
my
bugs.
Worry is knowing her. It's not, oh, she's going to get hurt. Or it's going to be some quick cat fight. She's going to hurt somebody. Then there's, people suing us, possible jail time, hospital bills,
lawyer
CPS
bills.
Now showing up to the fucking house.
Yeah.
Because again, she's not going to fight you like a girl. She's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
She's going to hurt you. She's going to break your nose. She's going to maybe break your orbital socket. She's going to fuck your face up. Like, it's not going to be pretty for you. So that's why
I'm not even a mean person.
No, she's not. But I know the dangerous person she can be when it comes to fighting other women.
Yep.
Even some of the smaller guys, but I that's the part that I look at and go, all right, now we're too old for this shit. And there's a lot of repercussions that come with this.
Of course.
Yes.
And her fighting isn't a simple cat fight. Break it up and let's move on.
Yeah.
Her fighting is now there's police asking questions and what happened.
And an ambulance.
Yeah, exactly. Up. Exactly, and that's shit we don't need at our age.
Yeah,
definitely not. It's been a very long time.
Since you've been with me.
Yeah, no, I definitely haven't put my hands on someone in a long time. I think the last time was at Jilly's when I put the woman's face through the wood jukebox and she bit my finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. She bit my finger, bro, so I stuck my fucking hand and her face through the jukebox until she let go like this, let the fuck go, because she had my finger in her mouth.
No, she's not a cage fighter, but her father studied 10 different styles of karate, jiu-jitsu,
he was
judo,
a master in
keto,
judo, yeah.
So many fucking different things. So her father, taught her how to throw her hands like a man. Which is what I do with my daughters. Anna comes down here and I put the gloves on her, had her hit the heavy bag. Anna knows how to throw a punch like a man now.
Yeah.
Valentina will learn as well. Because as a girl, that advantage alone will win you 9 out of 10 fights because most girls don't know how to throw a punch. So if you don't
and
even
school's hard.
Yeah. So if you don't even know how to throw a punch, you're not winning the fight against someone who at least knows how to throw it. Put their hands up at
right.
least.
Yep.
At least know, put your fucking hands up.
Right.
Most girls don't know that. Why should they? They
right.
shouldn't.
The first thing they do is this.
Yeah.
And they swing, and that's
and as
actually
soon as
the
they
worst
go
reaction.
This, Jess is now right here you're wide open. Bang, bang.
Yes, yes, straight up. Yeah. Done.
Because girls don't know how to fight. Like, guys, either some learn. A lot of guys don't know how to fight either. I've watched so many fights going, I would have just kneed you in the face right there. You would have just caught an elbow. I would have fucking...
Yes, totally have done that
like,
before.
So many fights I watch guys in, and I'm like, wow, you should have got fucking wrecked so many... If that guy knew how to fight even this much, you would have got fucking annihilated.
I agree. Yeah. I think, and even when I watch some movies, I'm like this in the movie theater. I'm like, my arms are moving, my feet are moving. You have to remember, again, my dad was this karate master, but he practiced on somebody, right? And I was the roughest out of the four of us. So my dad would come home 11 o'clock at night with his gi, sweating gross. And he'd be like, Jess, you up? Yeah, dad, come out here. I want to show you something. I come out and he'd go, check this out. And in a minute, my arms are I'm in a fucking hold. And he'd be like, try to get out of that. Try to get out. And I'm like, I fucking can't. He's like, think smart. And I'm like, all right. Then I start to like wiggle out. But he would put me in these holds where if I was out in the street and someone grabbed me from behind, I know a lot of places that I'm going to go first. Like, I'm going to take my fingers and I'm going to dig them into your fucking rib cage as deep as I can. Yeah. You know, like, there are my father, he was a master of finding that spot.
You want to know a trick?
Like, putting his finger in a spot and I'm going, oh, my whole body hurt, you know?
You want to know a trick with an overweight person, which me and Taylor found this out hanging out with our friend James.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Taylor used to walk up to him and just grab the roll, you know what I mean? But he would twist it and like kind of pull on it.
Yeah.
And James would be like, dude, that is the worst fucking pain. Like, he'd be like, Dick, don't fuck it. Like, he would get like legit, like serious mad. Like, when Taylor would do that. And you would look at that and go, oh, wow, that's a weakness for overweight people. You just grab that roll and kind of twist and pull on it. Like, you don't even really have to do it that hard.
Right.
Like, you could kind of just, and it's like this weird, you know, thing, I guess, but he hated it.
It's crazy when you think about, like, having to know these techniques to live in today's world.
Well, there's so many little nuances when you're in a fight that, like, you don't think of, but, like, you know, fish hooking someone or taking your finger and just sticking it, like, right here and fucking digging it into their fucking, or, you know, like you said, with the rib thing. Like, that's such a stupid little thing, but that's effective.
But you literally grab I would grab the fucking rib and pull as hard as I can. But with this woman who bit my finger, she bit it because she initially kicked. I was standing and she was sitting on a bar stool. She was stealing drinks from my mom's bar and going in the back and drinking it. So the bouncer, instead of handling it, told me. So I'm drunk.
And the bouncer was like a 50-year-old guy.
Yeah, I'm drunk and a 22-year-old. I'm here with my girlfriends. I walk over and I'm like, yo, look, I see you taking the drinks. You need to go. She's like, fuck you. I'm like, look, my parents aren't here. I'm here. I'm telling you to leave. Fuck you. And I'm like, listen, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. You need to go. Fuck you, cunt. And I went to go, but she said cunt, she had picked her foot up and just went like this to kick my wind socket. It would have knocked my wind out. And I grabbed her face like this. I was like, fuck. I went to fall. So as a grip, I grabbed her skin, her face, and she slid my finger in her mouth. That's how she got it. But I will grab your fucking face. I'll stick my goddamn finger in your goddamn eye and pull as hard as I don't give it. Whatever you got to do when I'm smaller, you know, you're higher on a stool. You think about that. And now I have two daughters. I have two daughters that my one goes to college.
Yeah.
I got to think about college and people. It's fucking crazy, you know? Like, 4 o'clock, it gets dark.
I taught Anna how to put someone in a leg triangle. She probably doesn't remember anymore. But I taught her, because if you're being raped or attacked, it's typically from a guy in that position on top of you, in between your legs, right?
Yeah.
So as a girl, if you know how to put someone in a leg triangle, you can put them to sleep. So if you're being attacked that way, and girls are bendy and very flexible, and if, you know, you have to, like, know how to do it. I don't expect her to be able to pull it off now because she doesn't practice it or anything. But if it's something that a girl learns, a simple leg triangle. And girls, two things I'm going to tell you. Go to boxing for 6 months. Just 6 months. Because in that 6 months, it'll become natural that,
knowing how to punch.
Yeah, that when you fight, your hands come up no matter what. It just becomes a habit. It's just, you don't even have to think about it. You go, ooh, danger. Hands up.
Right.
6 months, take a boxing course. Second thing, learn a leg triangle, because like I said, or an armbar, because if you're being attacked or raped, it's typically in that position where the guy's on top of you in between your legs. And if you know a leg triangle, you can now sink him in on this and at least hold him there and start throwing elbows on top of his fucking head.
Right.
With elbows, girls, you don't need strength.
No.
Elbows will do a lot of damage. You'll crack his fucking skull open. But if you have the leg triangle cinched in enough, you can put him to sleep.
Right.
So you have two very now effective ways to get out of this awful situation that is really, really easy and simple to do. Mm-hmm. Learn a leg triangle, 6 months of boxing, and you'll be able to handle yourself in most situations as a female.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important, though, like, you know, when we have our youngins coming up, you know, I always say to them, like, eyes in the back of your head. I don't care where you are. It's just a 2 second. You just give it a fucking 2 second. Every time you look, because you never know. There are those fucking creepers out there, you know, and I don't know. I always grew up always looking over my shoulder. So I'm like that. And I'm out with my kids or out with my husband.
My
I'm
head's always
just
on
like,
a swivel.
You know, and he'll tell people we'll be out at the bar, like hanging out friends. They'll be like, oh man, you know, that guy's talking to Jessica. And he'll look over and go, dude, I'm not the problem. She's the problem. Like, she's the one that will already shut it down. He never has to say, why are you talking to my wife? He looks over and goes, she got it. I'm always, you know, like, there's, like, this thing in me. I don't know what it is. It's just this thing in me.
Yeah.
I'm like a thing.
My daughter is 8, and she will destroy these soft fuck these days. Where Josh Anderson and Kevin Carter wrote, best advice, Rock. See, and I, like, I'm dead serious. And it's such a simple thing, and it's only 6 months of your time that you maybe go 2-3 nights a week.
Right.
But go to an MMA gym, learn how to do a little kickboxing, but mostly learn the boxing part of it, because, again, most people don't know how to throw their hands. That includes men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go there, you might really like the jiu-jitsu. And as a female, jiu-jitsu, to learn that, is an incredible fucking thing.
It's pretty fierce.
Because you don't need strength, you don't need power, and with your small frame, it's very good for people like that to be able to squeeze into these little nooks and crannies and sink in something really tight.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu for ladies, I would highly, highly recommend, and it's an amazing workout, and you work every fucking muscle in your body. One night of jiu-jitsu, the first night you do it, when you leave, you feel like someone beat you with a bat. And not because you're all bruised up and shit, because of the way you're stretching your body out. You're moving your arms. You're holding a position. It's kind of yoga-like. You know,
yeah.
If you've done yoga, it's kind of, I guess, that in that type of vein. But it is a fucking treacherous. That's why you watch these jiu-jitsu guys, when you look at videos, they're in pools of sweat.
It's like, it's just, your body is just everywhere. You're like bare. You're ripping through every muscle. It's a very awesome technique, actually.
It really is. And for ladies, like I said, you don't need to be strong. You don't need strength. You don't need size. And for someone like you, as a woman, it really is the most effective defense you will ever have, because the boxing's great and all, but if a girl punches me in the face, I'm gonna go,
it's different. Exactly.
That sucked. Yes. But okay. You know, like, as a rapist, I'm already, my adrenaline's gonna be pumping, right? You punch me in the face, I'm gonna go, yeah, cool, I'm still gonna be moving forward.
Oh, so if he rapes me, all right, listen, Nicole, if I waked up raped tomorrow,
no, but what I'm saying is, you know, but the boxing stuff is more for, like, if you have a problem with another female. That's not going to help you in a man's situation for the most part, unless you really become powerful and fast and, like, you know, a great boxer. But, you know, if you punch a man in the face, most of them will be able to take that hit. That's just the natural order of things.
Some.
Yeah, but we'll say more than half, at least.
Maybe
we'll
sometime.
Say. Yeah, it's just. But again, it's just a natural order of things. You're talking about a man and a woman. The strength there is just
different.
Yeah,
it's different, but. I got some strength.
No, you absolutely.
You know,
the
worst is, let someone get attacking you, and you just, even if it's just your two fingers, you get that pinch on their balls. Well, you fucking grab the skin of their fucking balls.
Who are you talking about? Guys love to pinch their balls. That's how we itch them.
I mean, you pull.
How do you
balls.
Think we itch them? You do the squeeze and pinch.
You squeeze and pinch?
Yeah, well, you got the pinch and roll.
Oh, well, last time you thought you were hurting them.
Well, because
you fucking
likes it.
But when your balls are all loose and saggy, how are you supposed to itch it? So you got to do like this pinch and roll thing.
Wait, what balls are saggy?
I was just gonna say, are your balls saggy?
No, but on like a warm day, your sack.
Itch them.
Wait a minute.
On a warm day, your sack isn't. Tight. Your sack tightens in like cold or different situations.
When you're like really ready to come, your sack gets tight.
Yeah, but when you're relaxed or it's a hot day or whatever the case may be, it gets a little loose and baggy. So sometimes it itches. That shit itches.
So you pinch. Show me the itch.
You do the pinch and roll.
Pinch and roll.
Guys, back me up here. All the guys in the thing.
Who pinch and rolls? I need to know a number of who pinch and rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Good night,
every
Josh.
Guy does. It's the only way to fucking
night,
scratch
Josh.
Your balls.
Mm.
Jess should be a professional boxer. I told her she should be in professional wrestling.
A long time ago, maybe.
I said,
I'm too old for this
if
shit
she
now.
Was like 20 years younger, and when we met, I would have pushed her into professional. She has the look perfectly. And she's got the toughness where I think she would have been able to take the bumps and all that other shit.
I don't know about flipping off the fucking tight ropes, man. I can't even spin in a circle before I get all dizzy. You know, it's different. I didn't have that kind of lifestyle, you know. But I'll tell you what. I will throw the fuck down in fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs. That's right.
Fisticuffs.
It's not a thing. See, is Phil the promoter says, right? Hell yeah, about the pinch and roll.
Oh, my God, Phil. See? You're fucking, you're a follower, Phil.
All those
you're
guys,
a follower.
All the guys know. The pinch and roll. It's the only way to fucking
well,
scratch
what about
a bag.
All right, so what do you do when you have an itch?
Where?
Do you
inside?
Pinch and roll?
No, I just scratch.
On
your
lip?
Scratch? Yeah. Well, sometimes you get an itch.
Is your lip getting baggy out of nowhere for some reason?
I don't know. You looked at it last night. Was it baggy?
No, and I don't assume it just, for some reason,
who
becomes
baggy?
Because, like I said,
I said itch.
Yes, but you're talking about female private parts. So you have regular skin. It's like this.
Yeah, but yeah. But what if you have fat lips?
It's still the same.
It's like a ball sack. You grab and roll.
Poofy.
I don't know what you're just
puffy pussy.
I was gonna say
it's called a puffy pussy. That's what we say.
Pussy.
It's a puffy pussy. It's a puff pussy. It's a pussy puff.
You make no sense.
We'll puff of the puss, and that's how we rock it. I don't know why that wouldn't be okay for me to do. If I do right here in my arm, I could pinch and roll.
You
it's my arm, pinch and roll.
I understand, but that's not...
What if I grab my lip, I pinch and roll? I just practiced right there. It worked.
How would that work for an itch on you?
If I had an itch on my lip and I just grabbed it and rolled it, it worked. I made an itch come and
this
I rolled it.
She's literally making the worst sense and worst argument ever.
I'm just saying, I don't know why women can't do it too.
They can, but it serves no purpose. And in fact, I would think it would hurt you to pinch your lip and
yeah,
roll it.
Yeah, pinching is hard. Why are you pinching so hard to roll your balls?
Because we have all this extra loose skin on it. Unbelievable.
Do you know the best is, though, catch us at like 2 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning in bed, and we're both like debating, and he'd be like, and I'm Apollo Creed. I'm like, you're not fucking Apollo Creed.
Yes, I am. Top five people that you would have at dinner, dead or alive, non-family members. Nicole, go first.
I wrote Tupac, Lincoln, MLK, Harriet Tubman, and Freddie Mercury.
Awful picks.
I hate all of them.
You,
yeah,
bro.
That is terrible. What
I do
a boring dinner.
All right. So I'm doing this off the top of my head because I didn't want to really think about it too much, but I definitely would like to meet Cyndi Lauper.
Okay.
Prince.
Okay.
Those are my musicians. I think that I would definitely like to have dinner with Chaz Palminteri.
Okay.
And I wouldn't mind having dinner with James Gandolfini. He's not here.
Okay, that's four. Yeah,
and
I said dead or alive. She picked Lincoln.
I was just thinking to myself, he did say or alive.
I would love to have my dad here for dinner.
I said no family
no
members.
Family.
Fuck, that's not fair.
That's the game.
That's why I didn't
I
pick
literally
my grandfather.
Said no family. Because
I
knew
I
you would pick.
Listen to you because
yeah,
I heard
you,
that
everyone
part.
Would pick their family members. That's.
I mean, I just want that one. I don't.
No,
see
no family. No women at your table, huh?
I said Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, that's right.
Prince.
Gandolfini, Chaz Palminteri, who else?
You know what? I think I'm gonna go with God.
Ew.
I want to meet God.
Right.
I want to talk to God. I want to ask questions, and I hope that He brings His book.
Why is it a he?
You know, I'm gonna have to generalize and say that I'm gonna go with God as a man and Source Energy and Mother Nature as a woman, and it doesn't take one to build a fucking empire.
Well,
so.
I mean, it's in the word Mother.
Yeah,
nature.
Hi, and
it's not Father Nature.
And Source Energy.
All right, I'm picking Ozzy Osbourne, Michael Jordan.
God.
Ozzy Osbourne, Michael Jordan, Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando?
Actually, no. Scratch him. Quentin Tarantino.
What? I heard he likes to eat bodies.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
And Johnny Knoxville.
What?
Why Brad
that crazy
Pitt? Just out of curiosity.
I like him as a person. Like, when I see him be normal, I feel like he's not like some Hollywood asshole dickhead
type. He is pretty normal. I think he's cool.
Like, I feel like he's just a normal dude that just happens to be the most famous actor. You know, like kind of like Clooney or Jack Nicholson.
He's fucking Brad Pitt.
You know, like he doesn't play that Hollywood douchebag fucking, and he seems like he's very nice, like in general. Like you never really heard bad shit about Brad Pitt.
You know, it's so crazy.
Like,
kind of like Keanu Reeves.
But even like the innocent story about him pulling up to Mike Tyson's house with Robin Givens. Like, he pulls up, and he's going to drop off Robin Givens at some fucking Mike Tyson's house. And Brad and Mike's in the driveway. Now, Brad Pitt doesn't even get out the car, and Mike Tyson's sitting there. He's like, who's this pretty motherfucker in my driveway now, right now? I'll fuck this motherfucker. Like, but Brad Pitt, you know him. He's like, oh, shit. What did I get myself into? I just wanted to bang this chick. You know what I mean? And now I have Mike Tyson staring at me. But he just seems normal.
Finish. We got 10 minutes left. Don't leave.
You know, and I think Ozzy, for obvious reasons, like, he's going to have stories to tell.
Yo, I love when he gets on and he goes, and everybody goes, oh, really? How was that concert? Was it good? They're like, how the fuck do you know what he just said to you?
You know, it's funny. His wife understands every word he says.
Because she's with him so long. Yeah, but, I mean, you know.
And you're right. Like, he'll be like, oh, so I was over to
and I'm like, what the fuck did he just say?
So well.
It's true. And he looks at you like this, like, oh, it is. Oh, you, what the fuck?
See, like, anyone from history, I'm just like.
Billionaire? Why the fuck am I not a billionaire?
Like, there's no one in history, I feel like, that I'm really like, oh, I'd love to chew their ear, like, you know, get in their head.
Keanu Reeves is a cool dude, too.
Yeah.
She said Keanu Reeves. Like, I totally was like, well, I didn't think about him.
He's I think McConaughey's like that, too.
I like McConaughey. However, I don't like.
He's a little crazy.
Yeah.
He's just like hippie-like.
Yeah, he's like hippie-like.
Yeah, he got that caught that one time smoking weed naked with bongos and shit.
Like, of course he did. But he's like, well, I hope you did. Like the Beach Bum
character? Moondog? You know Moondog? Remember we saw Beach? Like, that's how I picture McConaughey all the time.
That's how he was. He's yeah, absolutely.
Did you see that movie, The Beach Bum, with him, Snoop Dogg, Isla Fisher. It was really good. It went under the radar 2 years ago, actually. It came out the end of 2018, I think. And like, I watched that and I'm like, that's got to be him, like, normally. Like, I feel like that's just him as a human being.
He's you know.
Or
I mean,
like Wooderson, like you guys were saying, the all right.
Like, oh, you gotta join. Yeah. Oh, it would be better if you
did.
Be
a lot cooler if you did.
You know, at the same time, though, like,
love
all of them
redheads.
I was thinking, I am a natural ginger.
I know.
I was thinking when I don't know where this actually came up, but I was thinking to myself, like, with these actors, the work they put into, Anna said the lines, remembering the lines. I'm like, mm-hmm. The work they put into living like the characters, how do they actually take those characters out of their life, or do they take some of the traits for them? What?
Some people were writing their own.
Oh, you read them, right?
Yeah. But say that again. How do people like do?
How do they when these actors are becoming these people? Because they'll prepare for weeks. They will be that person. How do they now get out of that character and get rid of
a lot of times? That's really hard. Like Heath Ledger, he was driven into madness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he went crazy becoming the Joker.
And he was warned about that by Jack Nicholson before.
Like,
he
isolated himself for
months.
He said,
you're
going to
be in a very dark place.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
He isolated himself for months. He kept all these journals that it was just like these crazy writings.
You know, Phoenix, right?
River?
No, Joaquin. He, not only did he play the Joker, but you see the other part of his life. Now it's not like he's in Gotham City creating havoc.
Yeah.
He's living the Joker's life, like his abused and neglected and horrible life. And so when he was in that one moment where he was inside of the locker room and he's pulling his shoes, he's pulling the clown shoes,
and
he's
back.
Like ripping his whole back is bone.
You see every
and
bone.
I'm like,
and
oh my God, for that movie, he got so skinny.
Well, they're doing a sequel, which means he's going to probably have to get that skinny again.
Oh my God, you wait till you see it, because you know, you deal with a lot of people who have issues. You're going to look at that and go, that is fucking sick. You know, how you fall into that role. How do you get out?
Now, see, like, some people aren't method actors. Some people can just go in and out of it. Like, there's an extra clip I saw of the Joker movie, specifically with Joaquin, where he's getting ready for a scene, and you see him kind of, like, getting into his own head, and someone did something off camera or whatever they did, and he was like, dude, I'm fucking trying to get into my space here. Can you please fucking stop?
Right.
He's like, I'm trying to fucking get somewhere here, and you keep fucking distracting. And you look at that and go, all right, well, he goes in and out of it. You know what I mean? Like, he's not walking around as the Joker all the time. Heath Ledger walked around as the Joker all the time. Jared Leto was another one who walked around as the Joker all the time. Some people are method actors that they're that character the whole time. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was Calvin Candy in the Quentin Tarantino movie, he was very uncomfortable saying the N-word around all these black people.
Right.
And finally, Jamie Foxx went up to him. He's like, dude,
it's a
the
line.
Fucking movie. It's a thing.
It, right.
We, you know, do the fucking, play the role. You're right. Calvin Candy, be fucking Calvin Candy.
Right.
So the next day, Jamie Foxx goes back on set and he's like, hey, Leo, what's up? Leo just ignores him and just keeps walking. Because now he's Calvin fucking Candy.
Right, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, because in that level it was different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of, I would imagine, too, like, being him, and now there's a bunch of black people around me, I have to be this racist fucking asshole.
Right.
Even though
it's
I know
hard.
I'm playing a character, it's still, I'm portraying slavery times, I'm a slave master,
right.
I'm a fucking...
It's inappropriate.
Yeah, like, yeah. It still has to be uncomfortable, regardless of we're pretending.
I mean, when you watch these other movies about that kind of stuff, it is hard to even watch and say, these people can feel that so much that I believe they're in that part, but it's a movie. You
well,
know what I'm
saying? When I saw Django, was it Django?
Oh, Django. Oh, my
there
God.
There was black people sitting right next to us. So I'm watching it now,
yep.
And it's N-word this, N-word this, N-word
this. I'm sitting there
and I'm
like
watching
this.
It, all these white people be awful, and I'm like, oh, God,
it's
you
so
suck,
horrible.
White
it's horrible.
People.
You know movies like that? Rosewood.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I
it's another it's a slave yeah. movie.
But anyway, the whole point is, like, they get into these characters, they get out of these characters, then they have to live a real life, and they have to deal with social media and fucking the media and news and all that. It's so crazy. But I want to say, like, I look at that stuff, and I'm like, there are some people who are genuinely talented, and I, you know what? Better them than me.
But, like, to reiterate that part in the movie theater, when I'm sitting there, like, not cringeworthy for what's on the thing, but cringeworthy and like feel like thinking like what is going through their head. Like they're watching this knowing this was a real thing.
Right.
Like white people don't sit there and think about slavery too often because it wasn't a real thing for us.
For us, our generations.
Like in general though, like we were slaves.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like so
right.
Sitting next to a black person watching this, in my head I'm going,
I'm so sorry for you.
Their ancestors probably lived through this
exactly.
shit.
It's a
fucking
sad moment.
And now they're watching it, and like it's entertainment for us, but like in their heads, like what's going through, like what are they thinking, like you motherfucker. Like, and now like you look at that, and you can kind of understand the hatred that black people have for white people.
That's how Rosewood is. That Rosewood, like seriously, will make you feel... For a time, make you feel ashamed to be white.
Yeah, well,
like
see,
that,
I don't. I feel ashamed for you, white people. Like, I'm Italian. My family came over here in the early 1900s. I had nothing to do with slavery.
Right. No.
My family's from
exactly,
Italy.
Right. And I'm not. I don't say that I personally look and go, I identify. I don't. But I do look and say it's a shame that people would even look at someone's skin color and say you're a different
it's
level.
It's disgusting.
It's fucking
it's disgusting,
disgusting. Okay. And let me tell you, my father would walk outside with a watch on. I'm not even fucking kidding. And come inside, take the watch off, and he would be black and white. My father got so dark that we'd be out and people would look like, what is this? That's how dark my dad is, and Puerto Rican Italian. And I'm, you know, I am Spanish Italian, but he was so much different that as a kid, me and my brother being the two, you know, and with him, I would see this. I would feel this. And it was sad. You know, you look at that and go, first of all, there doesn't, never is there a moment that anybody should look at someone and go, I don't like you because of this. Fuck you. You don't live in my body or my shoes, and you should have no fucking opinion about me because I don't care about you. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. If you want to tell me to my face, go fuck yourself. Yes, now I got a problem with you. But I don't give a fuck if you wear purple sneakers or red socks and fucking pink and red in the same bow. I don't care. You know, like, why do people even focus on that?
See,
it's
like,
disgusting.
I think about it in this way, though. Like I said, you know, my family had nothing to do with slavery. We were Italian. We came over here in Ellis Island in the early 1900s. You know, so I have no part in that, and I really don't have any, like, I look back on it and go, wow, America was a fucking awful fucking place for anyone who wasn't rich white man from 1600s on. You know what I mean? Up until basically the 1950s. Like, the people still deal with it. It's not, you know, lynch mobs and all that other shit like it was in the 50s. There's no Jim Crow laws, right? What is it?
No, whatever.
Whatever it
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter.
But, you know, as now the future generations coming up, black, white, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, you're here now in this America. Leave that America behind because, trust me, a lot of Americans want to leave it behind, too. They want to look at that and go, I am embarrassed for what those people did. It is disgusting. The slavery, the fucking murdering, the raping.
Everything.
Not even just with black people, though. With the Native
with
Americans.
The Indians,
you know.
With the fucking, with the Jewish, with everybody. So let me just, I want to leave it at this because we're at the end of our show here. I want to leave it at this, right? I don't want anyone walking up to me in the middle of a grocery store while I'm standing with my two daughters and my son and say to me, hey, are you Jessica that one day you flashed the whole football field when you were in fucking seventh grade? nobody wants to focus on what their past is. That's not actually something that happened, but I'm saying I was kind of, you know.
So say that, right. I thought that was you.
No, right. So no, but what I'm saying is nobody wants to look back and say, this is who I was 25 years ago. So why are we looking at hundreds of years ago to try to dictate how we all feel now? Why can't we start over and be that generation that says there is no color difference, there's no religion difference? Why can't we all just be who we are and accept that is you across the street? And I don't fucking care if you like your finger in your ass or if you like to look through your garbage. It doesn't bother me because it's not me. Why is there so many times that people go, I don't like them?
Because there's still too many boomers out there.
So much time.
This is the victim generation. Look at yourself. Because being the victim gets a lot of
attention.
Focus
here.
So everyone wants to be a victim on everything. I'm offended. You know, I can't believe someone said this. I can't believe someone would think that. I can't believe someone would support that. Everyone wants to be a victim. So this generation of victims, they love to look at the past and go, not only was that wrong, and I know it's wrong, but now I'm going to harp on that and somehow incorporate myself into that shit. Yeah.
So can anybody here that's sitting here throw a fucking stone at a glass house? Can anybody?
It's not just slavery.
I can't. Yeah. I can't. Sure can't. And I will say.
Trust me, this isn't a thing on black people. This is a thing on this generation. Like, they love to play the victim. And again, like, you'll have white kids look at slavery and go, I identify with that. No, you don't.
Exactly. This wasn't
But they will try to tie themselves into it as if, like, now black people are going to be like, well, here comes the white messiah to save us all.
It's not how it's going to happen.
But in their head, they only have a motive, an agenda. There's no fucking, like, genuineness to learn about black people or learn about black culture or just, you know, like, again, like, I don't see it as, like, it's hard to explain. Like, I don't ever go.
I never look and go, like, the my black friend history Khalif. Stuff.
I don't go,
I look
that's,
and go,
my,
that's
black,
my family.
Yeah, I don't go, that's my black friend Khalif and his black wife. I go, that's my friend Khalif.
Exactly. That's my
I don't look
bestie,
at your kids
right.
and go, that's Nicole's black kids. I go, that's Nicole's kids.
That's my nephew.
You know what I mean?
You know
but
what I mean?
Most people in America live in that world of, that's that Spanish guy. That's that black guy. That's
right.
That, you know what I mean?
Spanish happens to be, like, really popping right now because of Mexico and this wall or whatever. And that's what's popping in the race fucking shit going on right now. However, I've never had a moment where I looked and went, I feel this way or I feel that way. I always was just like, we are people. I feel like a lot of people harp on older issues instead of dealing with the now. And I don't know why it's even an issue. Like, I don't even know why we even discuss it.
Well, a lot of the same people who, you know, want to bring light to, things happen.
Can we just for a second, can we just get a minute from Nicole, who not only is
Can I just finish what I was going to say?
Sure.
Because a lot of people, they'll like to bring light on things outside in the world, but then only stay within their inner circle. So they'll be like, hey, look, this is going on. I'm just letting you know. I'm not going to do shit about it. I'm not even going to think about it again other than this post. Letting you know, now I'm going back to my world. And a lot of people do that so they can go, hey, look at me. I'm so good that I posted this. Not I'm doing anything about it. It's kind of like this old Louis C.K. joke where he's on the plane, first class. Army guy walks on the plane. In his head, he goes, I should get up and give him my seat. Doesn't do it, but he goes, I'm a good person because at least I thought it. You know what I mean? And that's a lot of this generation. At least I thought it. I didn't do anything, but I thought it. Sorry.
I think it's important to get an outlook on somebody who deals with both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you deal with the cultural issues in school with your sons who are half. And so what do you feel about, like, I mean, honestly, do you feel like focusing on, I don't know the years, you know, of when this stuff was going on. Do you feel like that focusing on that is beneficial to you? Do you feel like you like to focus on that? Or do you like to focus on your children in the here and now? Like, and honestly, whatever you feel.
I think it's a little bit of both, really, because it's still, you know, it still happens today. Like, people focus too much on, like, skin tone and things like that. Like just the other day, for instance, like, my kids, you could tell they're related. They look alike.
Right.
Okay. When we were in at the doctor's the other day. I left Zach with Kano in the emergency room while he's getting triaged so I could bring his girlfriend to the train station and come back. I didn't want Kano to be by himself. And when I get there, Zach says, "So, I'm Kano's friend." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "They looked at both of us and they tell Kano, you can go back outside now with your friend or whoever that is that you're with." And Zach looks at him and is like, "That's my brother." And it's because they're different skin tones.
Zach is
it's
a
because
bit darker
they're skin tones
than Kano.
Like, if you were to have looked at their faces, there's no
related
denying they're related.
Right.
They have
but even though,
all
why
the
assume
same facial.
Why even make a comment?
Exactly.
Like that?
You can
why
go out there with your friend.
Yeah, not even that. You guys can wait outside. It's simple. You guys can wait outside. You know, like, I get what you're saying. So in those moments, like, it's hard because I'm not in the situation.
Can I be honest? I feel like that's a bad example because that's a simple mistake someone can make. Like, I get what you're saying, but I feel like a lot of people can make that, you know, just, hey, can you wait outside with your friend? Like, that's not, I don't think there's any, like, intent there of, like, you know what I mean?
But that, yeah, but it does. It happens a lot with us where people will, like, assume that either, like, when I go somewhere with Zach, people will either assume that, like...
Well, yes, because your skin tones are very obviously different. Like, that
Kano
I get.
And Zach do have a lot of similarities.
Like,
when I take him out with his
friends, people kind of look like they think his friends are my kids and he's the friend that's tagging along.
Yeah. Like, that I can completely understand.
And it's like,
it's just that situation
why do
you
just
named.
Why do you assume? Why do you assume?
Yeah. Why do you assume? Well, listen.
when I took him when he was younger, when he was still female, and I took him. That was like the one female thing that he loved to do. He loved to go get his nails done with me, and he would still even get like these boyishy, whacked out, like different color on every freaking fingernail. But like one time, he was sitting there all prim and proper, getting his nails done, and there was this older Italian woman, and she's sitting there smiling, adoring on how adorable he looks, and I'm getting my feet done, and I was with my girlfriend. And my girlfriend goes outside to smoke a cigarette, and the woman goes outside, and she knew that we were together, so she got into small talk with her, and she kept looking back and going, "Oh, how adorable she is. Is she adopted?" And my girlfriend goes, "No, that's her kid." And the woman went, "Oh."
Well, were like, you out there to hear her, "Oh"?
No, my girlfriend wouldn't embellish it,
I'm just saying.
No, yeah, no. She's not the type that would embellish things. But it was funny because it was like, in this woman's mind, I went from being like this lovely white woman opening up my home to this poor destitute little black child to being like, "You white trash fucking black loving whatever." Mm.
For everybody who is not or new here or doesn't know, Nicole, her son is transgender and also half black and half white. So when you talk about dealing with...
So he's got it real easy.
Yeah, exactly. When you talk about the harsh reality of fucking society today, my nephew Zach, he fucking burrows through with his head high and knows that he could be himself, you know?
Yeah.
And the strength it takes just to walk out the door every day knowing that a lot of fucking ignorant assholes are going to judge you.
And he's 14.
You know what I mean?
He's 15.
And it might not be every single day, you know what I mean? But in his head, you know, going out that door, he's got to go, "Wow. Today might be a day where I deal with some fucking jerk-off asshole who's ignorant and, you know, is only going to judge me for what I am and not who I am."
It's funny. He's 15. I'm 38. And I look up to him because, like...
The strength
that
it's incredible. It's incredible.
To just, you know, be who he is and just be like, "Fuck you. If you don't like it, this is who I am. This is me."
But let me just say, it takes a fucking... ginormous, I mean, like, the most ginormous ever in the whole wide world that you could ever have, like, the most ginormous ever. Most ginormous ever. Heart. And mother. To not only support, I mean, fucking support ride or die, but be as open and understanding as you are, Nicole. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And we don't ever want you to forget that.
I love you.
I agree. And I think I deserve a lot of credit for being how open and understanding I am. So.
You don't get to take that, guys. Listen, we're almost at the end. And I have a couple of shout-outs. We had a great show tonight. I want to shout-out, of course, Realm Network. Vince Russo's the brand. Go to YouTube, Super Ugly Show. Find me on Twitter, JRabbit55. Sweet Temptations by Nakey. By Nakey. Sweet Temptations by Nikki.
That's my Spanish version.
And Rocky Sus on Instagram. You can find us on Super Ugly Show and on Unfiltered Marriage on Facebook. group.
Russo'sBrand.com. Head over there now. $3.99 a month. You get over 12 shows every week. It's worth it. It's not even a dollar a week, you cheap bastard. So go to Russo'sBrand.com
right now. Share it out. Tell
right
your
now.
Fucking friends.
And if you're listening to us on audio version only, we are live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Unfiltered Marriage. Go to YouTube, search Super Ugly Show on YouTube, and you'll find the show there. Hit that subscribe button and that little notification bell next to it. You'll get alerted every time we go live. And, of course, 7:30 p.m. every Tuesday night is the Super Ugly Show.
He is just...
The Super Ugly Show starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday night.
It's like Tuesday takeover.
And
it's
if you missed last week's show, we had a crazy mashup. And we started the show off with
tacos.
Vince Russo, and we had Opie Radio from Opie and Anthony Fame.
I love you, Opie.
And OpieRadio.com. Go there right now and subscribe. So, yeah, that's it. Super Ugly Show, YouTube, subscribe.
Unfiltered Marriage.
The channel is Super Ugly Show.
No, you said Super Ugly Show way more than Unfiltered Marriage. Unfiltered Marriage. Unfiltered Marriage.
Okay, to subscribe to our channel, go to Super Ugly Show on YouTube.
Whoop.
That's like me promoting the brand, and she's being like, Unfiltered Marriage.
That's
well,
right.
You've got to find it on the brand.
The lioness has spoken.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll put the lioness to sleep.
Good night.
Good night,
See
everyone.
See you next Tuesday.
Peace.
Bye.